You all know exactly what planet this is. You're listening to Geek World on KCLAFM.com. I'm your host, Anime, and with me, as always, is Dave.
Hello.
Hello. Today, we have a great show planned for you. We are going to talk about Who Wants to Be a Superhero and The Ultimate Avengers.
Excellent.
1 and 2.
Yeah.
So, why don't we start off with a little bit about The Ultimate Avengers? Dave, would you like to start us off? Why don't you tell us a little bit about the two movies, or at least one of them?
Sure will. Well, The Ultimate Avengers 2 just came out this week, which was, the 8th of this month, and The Ultimate Avengers number 1 came out last February, and we watched them back-to-back, and, you know, I tell you what, I really enjoyed the first Ultimate Avengers a lot. It starts off with Captain America in the 50s fighting the Nazis, who are also... Well, one of the Nazis is an alien, right?
I'd have to assume it was before the 50s, first of all. Let me just...
Hey, you know, I wasn't a history major, thanks.
But yeah, he was fighting the Nazis, and let me tell you, you know, I've never really watched any Captain America or even read much about him, except in the Civil War comic books, which, might I say, fantastic.
Yeah, he's awesome in Civil War.
But... you watch this, and he is so heroic, and just, you know, you can't help but really feel for him and connect with him and want him to succeed no matter what he's doing. So, mad props to Captain America in these movies.
Yeah, The Ultimate Avengers, the first one, they start off with just his origin story. Like I said, it's actually the 40s, I guess, now. Thanks, anime. It's the 40s, and he's fighting the Nazis, and then, like, you know, he essentially saves us all from, like, you know, a big bomb that's going to hit America.
Now, the Nazis in this have nuclear power.
Yeah.
But not because of their technology.
No.
It's because of the aliens.
The aliens.
That's right. We said aliens.
Yes. Yes, there's a group of evil aliens, and do they even have a name? Do they ever give them a name?
They do. And it's just so obscure that I can't remember it. It's like Chara or Chiara.
Yeah. The Chiari. Yeah, I think that's right. Oh, whatever. Anyway, so aliens gave the Nazis the nuke, but luckily Steve Rogers was there to climb on that missile and take it out. And, of course, he falls into the ocean, and he freezes for 50 years until they find him, thaw him out.
Yeah, thanks to Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yes, who is African-American in this version, which is cool, you know, because, honestly, I don't know how much you know about Nick Fury, but...
I don't know much about him.
He's just kind of lame. He's just this kind of... to give you an idea, David Hasselhoff played him in a TV movie called Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, faux shizzle.
I guess it was a good idea to make him African-American, because that way they can't use David Hasselhoff for him ever again.
He was this guy who has, like, an eye patch, which, you know, seems cool, except, you know, I would think as the commander of S.H.I.E.L.D. you'd need depth perception. And, you know...
that is what you'd think, isn't
it? He's just this, you know, white dude with spiky hair with a cigar and just kind of really, you know, not anything, like, spectacular, not anything, like, new. So I'm glad that they kind of changed his character around, because, you know, it'd be harder to probably change around a character people were more used to. And, okay, so they find Captain America, but there's an ends to this of why they're trying to find Captain America, and that's because they want to recreate the Super Soldier Project, right?
Right. And the person in charge of this Super Soldier program is Bruce Banner. You might recognize that name from, say, the Hulk.
There you go. You can those
Wasn't
incredible
that
Hulk
David Banner?
Yeah, well, you know, you got it back already. You can't even stay away from it. We talked about the DVDs for the Incredible Hulk, the TV series, last week. And how do you feel about Mr. David or Bruce Banner? It would be Bruce Banner in
this
case.
It's definitely Bruce Banner in this case. You know, he's kind of cool, like, but he's so self-serving, and he's very, you know, addicted to the Hulk, and that's the problem in this. You know, he is so addicted, but at the same time, what he wants is to be able to control the Hulk, and that's why we find out that he's so obsessed with the super soldier program, because his dream is to use it in order for him to control the Hulk, which... you know, that could be a great thing, considering, you know, the Hulk just destroys everything that it comes in contact with.
Yeah, I really like this version of David Banner. Like you said, he's really self-serving, and he's, you know, he's just a really smart guy who but is addicted to the Hulk. I love that concept of the Hulk being kind of a drug, like a power trip, you know? It's like all that rage is making you, like, crazy and strong and everything.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that about this version of the character. I thought it was really cool, and I enjoyed the guy who played the voice of him. I can't remember his name, but I found out he was Funboy from The Crow. And any of you have seen A Crow, you know, back 1996's Crow, got a little fun boy. I believe he was also in The Untouchables, too. But I love the voice work. That the voice work was pretty decent in the movie, huh?
It was. It's pretty good. One of the girls, isn't it, like, the sister from The Wonder Years?
Yeah, totally. Who plays, is it Black Widow?
Is it the one who plays Black Widow?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. She puts on a little bit of a Soviet accent there. But, yeah, she does a decent job. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, we found that out the other day. It was pretty funny. And I don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed the first one. It was really excellent. I mean, the Banner was great. Captain America was, like, fantastic. You know, assembling all the Avengers. You got Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know, who's totally cool. And you have Hank Pym, who is the Ant-Man.
Yeah, who becomes Giant Man.
Yes. And, of course, we've already spoken about the Black Widow, who's the kind of, you know, USSR Soviet
Mrs.
gun.
Pym.
Oh, yeah, the Wasp.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Ms. Pym, the Wasp. And who are we missing out? We're missing somebody, aren't we?
We are missing...
Thor. Thor is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I hear they're going to make a Thor movie.
You know, you don't really find out really how awesome Thor is until the second one, though.
Yeah, he's awesome. Awesome, the second one. But before we get to that, is there anything else about the first one we want to say?
I don't know. Is there?
You know,
I really enjoyed it. We actually watched it for a second time yesterday, and it was just as enjoyable on the second time around.
Yeah, and maybe even more so. I really, really enjoyed it the second time. I think, you know, I just read the other day that they're already writing a script for the Avengers movie.
Ooh.
They're gonna make a live action version of that, and they could take the script from this animated straight to DVD. We haven't even mentioned these are animated straight to DVD Marvel show movies that they're putting together.
Right.
I read, I believe, that they're doing 8 titles all in all. And,
8 Avenger titles?
No. 8, like, separate different titles.
Oh, that's right. They did have a preview on one of the DVDs for the new Iron Man.
Iron Man, yep, they're making Iron Man, and
not to be confused with the live action Iron Man that's been announced.
Yes, that will be coming out most likely in 2008. Also, let's see. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Well, before we get on to the second Ultimate Avengers movie, if you would like to get in touch with us, you can email us at animeontheradio@yahoo.com. That's ANNAMAY onTheRadio@yahoo.com. Or you can check out, while we're in the process of making our website, we do have a MySpace page, and that's myspace.com/geekworld. GEEKWORLD, in case you couldn't figure that one out on your own. And I just want to give a shout out to Sammy out there, Lil Tinkerhell from on her MySpace page. So you can click on Lil Tinkerhell from our MySpace page and check out her site. She has her new remixed version of her new song Daddy on there, and it's a really great song. She is a fantastic vocalist.
Yeah, she's great. She's really good. You know, I have a confession to make. I was a little scared about this MySpace thing, you know? I mean, I'm a young guy, should be into this stuff, but, you know, I think I kept on getting caught in with, like, the media. MySpace is ruining you. But I really enjoy it now, so go onto our page and check it out.
Another great vocalist on our that we have a link to is, I think it's just David is his name on it, and that would be David Stills, and he is one of the best male vocalists that I've ever heard. So
he's up and coming. He's going to be something someday.
He's going to be huge.
That guy's awesome.
So those are two different people to check out through our MySpace page. Again, that's myspace.com/geekworld. So, anyways, on to the second Avengers movie, which, let me tell you, not nearly as good as the first.
Yeah. It's a different direction, you know? They set up these great characters from the first movie, and there's all this action, and everything's really great. And the second movie, one of the central characters is the Black Panther. Which, you know, doesn't get a whole... He doesn't really get a whole lot of, I mean, honestly, I didn't really know much about the Black Panther, tell the truth. I was a big Marvel fan when I was younger, and I know that he, his first issue was, like, in the 70s or 60s, and the Fantastic Four was the first time that he was shown. Mm. Honestly, the only thing I knew about the Black Panther is that Wesley Snipes was most likely going to do that movie. He had, he was, I remember reading an article about him a few years ago before Blade 3, and, you know, he said, you know, I can only be in this shape for so long in my life, so either I'm going to do Blade Trinity or I'm going to do Black Panther, which he would have done under his own production company.
It's kind of hard for me to hear Black Panther without thinking of, like, the civil rights group.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely. That's warranted. That makes a lot of sense.
I mean,
yeah.
Every time I hear it, that's the first thought that comes to my mind. So, I mean, granted, it's because, you know, my youth wasn't spent reading as many comic books as I do now. But then again, it also wasn't spent, you know, in the 60s with civil rights movements. But I've seen enough movies with the Black Panthers that that's what comes to mind. So that's just my take on it.
There you go. You know, totally. the Black Panther, except this Black Panther is in Africa, as it says in the very beginning.
Yeah.
Africa.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you where in Africa.
No.
It just says Africa.
It's a small place. Whatever. You know.
Yeah, I mean,
no,
you say Africa,
deal.
You know exactly where the person is.
Yeah. And it starts off with, you know, the great prince of, oh, gee, where's he from?
Something with an M.
Africa.
Yeah.
The Prince of Africa returns, and he's you know, he's returned because his father, the king, you know, has had him go and learn what is out there so that he can come back and be a great ruler someday.
Well, it's because this land that they live in, they're an isolationist country, and they don't let any outsiders in. But it turns out that these aliens are attacking them, and so he has to go to the Avengers for help. Now, of course, they want to go into the country and actually physically help him out, and he's like, no, we're an isolationist country, you can't come.
Yeah, he's like, you guys aren't allowed here. And it's funny, too, because, you know, first he has to take the mantle of the Black Panther. And one of the cool powers of the Black Panther is, I guess when he gets mad, he gets a big panther face.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like,
that is pretty cool.
He wears
cool.
a panther mask, but it actually covers his face, and his face becomes a panther.
Yeah, it's wild. And, you know, so that's cool. And he's got this little, like, gauntlet claw thing where he can shoot these claws. And I guess they have a lot of vibranium there, which is kind of like adamantium, you know.
Well, it's the alien technology. It's one of their materials. So, I mean, it's pretty much impenetrable to any bit, like nothing can penetrate it, and it absorbs energy, and like they demonstrated that by having like guys shoot at it and throw in the first one and like
yeah,
shoot
yeah.
rockets
and,
at it
and I believe
and that's what they made Captain America's new shield out of. So
yeah, it has flakes of it on that along with adamantium. Is it adamantium or adamantium? You know, I've never been able to
it
say
was
that
adamantium,
correctly.
But
oh, who knows? You yeah. know, when you read something for so long, sometimes it's hard to actually pronounce.
Maybe
it.
I think it's adamantium.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Who knows? I always figured it came from the word adamant, so it would be, you know, but what do I know?
Well,
anyway,
if it's comes from the word adamant, either one still works.
Well, when you say it like that, it makes me sound like a moron. That's not what's important, though. What's important is the Ultimate Avengers 2.
That's true.
And so, anyway, and so, you know, the aliens come down and they cause some trouble. Same aliens as the first one. And, you know, the Black Panther has to go get the Avengers, and I don't know. What else should we say about it?
You know, that's kind of all there is to say about it. It just, They really did take it in a new direction, and the problem is that in the first one, you loved Captain America.
Yeah,
you
he's
know, it's
excellent.
Impossible not to love him. And in this one, you don't like him as much. You know, you don't feel for him. You're probably going to be kind of annoyed by him. But Thor is great. Now, the only problem with Thor is in the first one, Thor carried around a keg. That's right, a keg filled with his ale.
Mead,
right.
Yes.
He loved
from
his
Asgard.
He loves his mead.
Yeah.
Son of Odin loves his mead.
For shizzle.
In this one, he doesn't have his mead. I think he would have been a lot happier with his mead.
Yeah, you know, I think so too. He needed a little more downtime. He was a little more serious in this one.
Yeah. But he was fantastic, you know. He might have been serious, but boy, did he, you know, put up a good fight.
Yeah, Thor's completely awesome. I mean, you know, he's the God of Thunder. He's got all that stuff going on for him. I just love the way Captain America fights. It's so noble, you know? All he does is essentially beat the crap out of people and throw a shield at them. That's awesome.
It is awesome. Okay, well, I guess that's pretty much all that we really have to say about...
Yeah, I would just say that the first Avengers is excellent. Totally get that if you're a fan of... Even if you're a fan of any of the Marvel characters, actually, from Iron Man to Captain America... you know, Ant-Man, Thor, any of those, you really enjoy it. If you're a fan of Thor, I would definitely go for the second one because he makes more of an appearance.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, if you like the Black Panther, which, you know, I like the character. It's just, it was, I don't know. I don't know if it's that they focus
on...
There
were a lot of little storylines. There were a lot of, like, love... There was, like, the love storyline,
Yeah, they almost stretched themselves a little too thin in this
one.
They
did. It was too bad, because they probably could have done some good things with the Black Panther, but...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it still might be worthwhile if you were an Avengers fan for the comic books. I didn't read them, so, you know, these are kind of my real... Other than reading the Civil War comics, these are my first real intros to these characters. So, I mean, it's a little tough.
Yeah, but definitely the first ones are fantastic. I would definitely recommend that for anybody who likes just Marvel properties in general. It's one of the better things I've seen come out of Marvel in a long time.
Yeah. Okay, so we will be back with you in just a few moments. For now, for now, we're going to set you off with some commercials, and then we'll be back on KCLAFM.com.
See ya.
You are listening to Geek World on KCLAFM.com. I'm your host, Anime, and with me, as always, is Dave.
Here I am.
If you want to contact us, you can email us at animeontheradio@yahoo.com. That's ANNAMAY@yahoo.com. Or you can check out our MySpace page. That's myspace.com/geekworld. So we are on to Who Wants to Be a Superhero, one of our favorite shows right now, and probably my all-time favorite reality TV show.
It is really awesome for a reality TV show, and especially if you're into comic books at all, I mean, who can say no to Stan Lee? It's really awesome.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know if this one was quite as exciting as some of the past episodes have been, but that's not to say it wasn't good. Every single episode of it has been very good. As we discussed last time, there was a twist at the end of the last episode, and that was the Iron Enforcer, who got kicked off the show, was changed by Stan Lee into the new supervillain, the Dark Enforcer. And he showed up against the superheroes in this episode straight from the beginning.
Yeah, it was really cool when Stan Lee, you know, the Iron Enforcer was just walking back at the end of the episode before this new one, and Stan Lee appears on a television. He does a lot of that. He appears all over televisions, all over the place in the show. He says, you know what? Something never really sat right with me, and I know what it is now. You'd make a perfect supervillain. He's like, really? He's like, how would you like to make our superhero's life a living, well, he didn't say hell, because it's Stan Lee. I'll say a living heck. He's like, I'd love that. And then, you know, the little lab rats take him into the van and turn him into the Dark Enforcer, and now he works for evil. He was kind of evil to begin with, though, really.
He really was.
I mean, his legs are made out of nukes.
Yeah. There's kind of a question of, like, was it planned from the whole time? Like, was he just kind of an actor that was placed in there? I mean, with that whole dog situation, he was right at the door. All he had to do was reach out and touch it. You know, questionable,
I mean,
but
you know.
At the same time, even if it was, who cares? It was a great thing, and it really, that whole thing happening and him becoming the Dark Enforcer, it turned the superheroes against each other, which is, you know, kind of what it was intended to do.
And it works excellent, too. You know, you never really know. You know, a lot of people say that a lot of reality TV is scripted, and, you know, some of it is. That's just the way it is. I don't know, but... I really enjoy the way things unfold. If you want to call it a narrative, then you should, because it's really excellent. But I like to believe it's real because, well, that's just the way I am. And it's really excellent having him as a villain now. It works really well, and it helps with all their new tests, because now there's somebody in there, you know, to foil our superheroes.
Yeah, and he really does a great job. He's believable as a supervillain. So.
Oh, totally. All right, so... this episode, what do they do?
Okay, so there's a young lady who is trapped on a burning building.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun!
Boom.
So the superheroes have to climb across a beam to save her.
Yeah, that was pretty scary. I would hate that. If I was a superhero, I'd be like, nah, I don't think so. I hate heights.
Not only do they have to climb across this beam to save her, they're blindfolded.
Oh, can you believe that? All they have is, like, a little rope that's attached to the beam that they need to, like, guide. And they need to walk across, like, oh, I don't know. It's at least, what, 60 feet?
It's the space between two buildings.
Yeah.
So a standard space between two high-rise buildings.
Yeah, and they need to go, you know, get the lady and bring her back. And it's, you know, it's a pretty tough, I'd say it's pretty tough.
With the wind blowing. Well, what we find out is that they're not actually climbing across the building. They set up a beam on the building with two mats to the side. So they weren't actually in any danger. And the wind is actually the Iron Enforcer holding a big fan right up to their faces.
X-Punk. Totally. They had no idea it happened.
Yeah. So it was actually pretty funny. So,
but Excelsior, you know, they all did it, though. That was cool. None of them weenied out or whatever you want to say.
Right.
In the vernacular of Major Victory. And so that worked out really well. Now, should we say who got kicked off in the first part?
The first, one of their first tests, actually the first test that came before that was very simple. They had to go and pick up lunch from a little restaurant down, like, across the street or something.
Mm-hmm.
What this turned out to be was a test of whether or not they would give out their true identity or keep it hidden.
Which is essential for any superhero. I mean, come on.
It is. They all thought it would be simple. They did.
I mean, you know, if they had just read that Amazing Spider-Man Civil War, they would have known how important it is to keep your secret identity. Those people are not keeping up on their comic books.
Yeah. Well, if they'd read any comic book ever. But,
yeah.
You know.
I kind of wonder about that sometimes, don't you? It's so funny how some people really get it and some people really don't.
Well, it turned out that only Feedback and Fat Mama were able to hide their secret identity the entire time. They would not tell the waiter or waitress at the restaurant, who was obviously hired and trying to get it out of them. They didn't tell. So good for them.
Yeah, well, it was funny because they had the they had an attractive girl that was the waitress for the guys, and an attractive guy who was the waitress for the girls. So, you know, they tricked them that way too.
Yeah.
And some people, it was funny. Some people were right out and just, you know, said, you know, after a second, what's your real name? Oh, you know, and I'm, you know, for instance, Major Victory, our favorite. It wasn't that hard for him to tell the nice lady, you know, oh, my name's Chris. Come on, Major Victory. Though,
right.
You know, he's kind of a player. You can tell. He's Major Victory,
well,
you know?
Well, he is, but at the same time, you know, Major Victory, you know?
He should know
better.
If he's
going to be Major Victory, he's got to be Major Victory.
Yes, his power cannot be libido. His power must be superhero-ish.
He didn't give his full name or anything. You
yes,
know? He just
that was
gave
good.
Chris. Whereas Tyveculus.
Oh, man.
Oh, Tyveculus.
What is going on with that guy? He should have kept the rooster costume. It would have fit
seriously. Unfortunately, Tyveculus not only told his true identity, he actually gave the waitress his ID to look at. She got all of his stats.
Yeah, I know his name, how tall he is, you know, where he lives.
But the person that got kicked out after that task was Monkey Woman. Monkey Woman gave her name unprovoked. She said Monkey Woman, a.k.a. whatever her real name
her
is.
Her full name, I know. And
so,
that was not even worse. What else did she do? Do you remember?
No, what did she do?
The guy was like, oh, this is some reality TV show, huh? And she's
yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, this is the waiter talking. He's like, he sounds just like me, actually. He's like, yeah, I really want to get into acting. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm an actress, too. And he's like, oh, do you know, how'd you get into that? And she gave him a bunch of websites, and that was not a good idea. Stan the Man did not like that she was an actress, because initially when she auditioned, she said she was a real estate broker, so not a good move. And the idea that you are on a reality TV show and never shot on camera is just insane. They should have known better.
They really should have. It's like, if you're going out in costume, there's going to be cameras there.
In their testimonial, like, well, there didn't seem to be any. The cameras didn't come with us. It's like
oi.
You know, if they watched some Secretos, they would have known you can put hidden cameras anywhere.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so at the end of it, there was one more test. And what they had to do is they had to nominate somebody to be kicked off. Well, the first one to stand up was Creature, and she, you know, gave a compelling speech of, I nominate myself because I'm with all these superheroes, and I deserve to be the one kicked off. And And Major Victory did the same, and most of the people did the same, except for Fat Mama and Tyveculus. They nominated someone else. Tyveculus nominated Lumeria, and Fat Mama nominated Feedback.
Mm-hmm.
So when it came time for the elimination round, those two were up on the chopping block. Why? Because the test was not about saying who should go. It was about self-sacrifice, another quality that makes a superhero. Well, the way that Stan put it, Tyveculus, his reasons didn't seem honest. It seemed like maybe he just said it because he didn't like Lumeria. Whereas Fat Mama, he kind of concurred that maybe it was for his own good. Maybe what she was saying was for Feedback's own good.
It was out of compassion, which is another virtue of a superhero.
Because being a superhero is all about saving people. So that was how the show ended.
But are we going to talk about Fat Mama, what she said after, or do we leave that for later?
Fat Mama is on a mission of revenge.
Yes.
She wants to get revenge for Tyveculus.
Not good for a superhero.
Uh-oh. I guess the rest of them are in trouble.
You know
She's
going
to eat some donuts and...
I really hope her fat issues don't, like, mess with everyone else, you know? Just because you got some hang-ups because it was you and Tyveculus, don't take it out on everyone else.
Yes, seriously. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Again, if you want to contact us over at Geek World, you can send an email to animeontheradio@yahoo.com or check out our MySpace page. That's myspace.com/geekworld. We're going to be taking you out with some Yoko Kanno and the Seatbelts with Yo Pumpkinhead. So, enjoy.
Peace out.